All of the food we eat and much of the clothing we wear comes from plants and animals that are raised on farms. Farms are different in type, in size, and even in name.
Welcome to Barn Talk. What happens at the barn stays in the barn, but not today. We're going to let it all out for you guys. Today is going to be a Barn Talk Hot Topics episode. We got a lot to cover. It's been a while since we've done Hot Topics. A lot of crazy shit going on around the world and this country. A lot of stuff to address. So before we get into it, though, you guys know the drill. Share the show with who you know. The more that you guys do that, the more the show grows, the better guests we can get on, the more credibility our show gets. If you get any value, that's kind of the ticket to admission to watch or listen to the show. You got to get something valuable out of it, of course, whether it's making you laugh, whether it's you relating to us on something, whether you go down your own rabbit hole and find research and find an answer for yourself because of Barn Talk, whatever it is, we appreciate that. And we appreciate every single one of you guys sharing the show. Feel free to also leave a review on Spotify or Apple. We're up to almost 1,000 five-star reviews on Apple, and we're over 2,000 five-star reviews on Spotify. So thank you to all that do that. We're hoping we can hit 1,000 five-star reviews here shortly on Apple. And that also gives our show a lot of credibility to get better guests on. So last thing you can do to support the show and what we do here at Barn Talk is you can head over to farmergrade.com and buy some meat from us. We support all American farmers and ranchers that are showing people what they do on their farm every day. A lot of selection, a lot coming down the pipeline here in 2024 for what we can offer. So be checking out that too. And that's all I got. So how are you feeling today?
I'm sitting here, I'm kind of chomping at the bit. We haven't done a hot topic in a long time.
I know. There's plenty to talk about, that's for sure.
I'm kind of excited.
I'm excited too. And it's getting hard for me to remember all that stuff to say in the beginning. I need a cheat sheet like you do on the market update.
Oh, it's better to just wing it.
Winging it?
Just wing it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I do.
Yep.
Except when it comes to the markets, I get the hard numbers. Courtesy of Cat's Grain, Washington, Iowa. Cat's Grain, they'll help you out if you're trying to market your crop or you just want a shoulder to cry on because you did it wrong like me. You know, whatever. They're there to help. So corn for March, 426, and this is the close. We're after the close today. Locally, 433 is the high. I think it's kind of curious that this is last week, China bought corn from Ukraine. I thought the Chinese and the Russians were, I thought they were tight, thick as thieves, but apparently China's like, we'll buy some corn from Ukraine. So I didn't know Ukraine had any corn to sell, but apparently they do. Beans, 1170, Burlington, they got 1157 and 1181 across the river in Quincy, wheat, 526. Bean meal, $341 a ton. Hogs, $84.37. And the wiener pig market, off to the races. $55 for wiener pigs. Feeder pigs, $85. So apparently people are feeling a lot better about the hog market. Cattle, $187. Feeder cattle, $248. And after our last conversation that really went off into the weeds about milk,
yeah, I'll just stay quiet this time.
Yeah, just be quiet. this is the way it goes. So class one is milk. Class two is what they make cottage cheese and sour cream out of. Number three is what they make hard cheese out of. And number four is what they make butter out of.
No number five?
I don't think there's a number
five. You
didn't
check?
No, that was what they gave me. So that's more than what I had before. And basically, near as I could tell, milk's trading between $16 and $20, depending on what class. I don't really get whether they quote every class every day or how that works. But hey, it's a start for all you guys out there that wanted to know the milk price. Bitcoin, over $68,000. Sorry, all you haters, but Bitcoin has made it back from the brink, and I think it's probably going to run now for a while. Tesla's getting beat. They're getting beat up pretty bad. The Chinese market kind of going to hell in a handbasket. So 176,000. And somebody blew up power transformer in Germany that goes to the Tesla plant, they ain't going to be making any cars for like 2 weeks over there. What do they called it? They called it climate activists terrorism. Yep. Blew up the transformer. Damn Germans anyway. Gold, $21.88. Silver, $22. I threw Beyond Meat in there at $8.24 just so that you know that everything's in the shitter. And the only thing less valuable than Beyond Meat stock price is Joe Biden's words.
Look at that tie in. That's a great tie in. Yeah, that's so that leads us to our first topic here, guys. It's going to be the State of the Union, which happened last night for us when we're shooting this right now. And I could barely even watch that for very long. My fiance Kat came walking in when I was watching it, and she just couldn't even stand it. She was in there for maybe 3 minutes, and then she just started going on a rant and left the room. And so I shut it off probably after 10-15 minutes. And the thing that bothered me the most, outside of just what was coming out of his mouth, which was trash, but was just Kamala's ass standing up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, clapping. Everybody clapped every 5 seconds. And I almost thought they would like start clapping before he finished what he was saying, because they were like, yeah, that was good enough, Joe. Stop talking. Yep. You know, let's get the applause. Let's cut him off with the applause.
The celebrity of the whole thing, I think, was Speaker of the House, because the meme market has been rolling hard on just his look of disgust, everything that
is that Biden the other said. Guy in the back?
Yeah.
He just stayed pretty cool, and he was just
rolling his eyes.
Didn't stand up at all, just Kamala. He probably was getting annoyed of her standing up every 2 seconds.
So my question that I threw out on X last night was, I would like anybody to speculate on what was the health smoothie that they gave Joe before he went, and I put only bad answers. And I got some good ones. If you get a chance, listen to the Joe Rogan episode that has, is it Chris Williams?
Yeah, Chris Williamson. Chris Williamson is his name.
Joe Rogan goes through, like, if he was Joe's handler, what he would put him on to get him pumped up. And I mean, he does a pretty good job, because he's like, I'd be running this much testosterone, because at this point, you know, it probably is going to kill him, but he doesn't have that much time left anyway. And then you're going to want to get some, you know, you're going to want to get some kind of narcotic in there, some kind of upper, but then give him some of this.
Some Molly.
You know, I mean, he was pretty detailed. I thought that was pretty funny, but he definitely was fired up.
Joe. Yeah, there was. I will give him credit. He did not mess up near as much as I thought he was going to mess up, but I didn't watch the whole thing, so I didn't catch him all. He messed up a couple times, but not like he normally did, where it was terrible. And here I'm going to list off what people have said on Twitter from your response.
Oh, so nice.
Dad asked, contents of Joe Biden's pre-State of the Union smoothie? Only wrong answers. Some guy said, give the man some red Manchu mixed with some Skull long cut, and that'll get him through the first 30 minutes. And then somebody did a Walter White meme and said, Walter White, the unofficial cabinet member. And it's just a meme of him putting stuff out of syringe and some science glasses. And then somebody just said, straight water. If no way, will his water be brought to you by Pfizer?
Yep, correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he was probably, I don't know, they probably wake him up every day and say, hey, here you go, Joe. Here's your cup of ambition. It's got a little more than just coffee in it.
Well, I'm pretty sure that there's nothing going on at the White House today. I would guarantee you he probably slept all day.
He's probably on the beach now.
I don't know. They probably just put him to bed.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But,
gave him a thumb to suck on.
He was fired up, and most of the reactions that I saw were, a lot of people thought that was the most divisive State of the Union address that they had heard. In other words, a lot of people thought that it belonged a lot more on the campaign trail or at a rally than it did at State of the Union. But really, that was a campaign speech, because
he ain't debating.
Yeah, he's not going to debate, and you're not going to see him on the campaign very much anyway. I think he really did want to perform, because for people in his own party that are getting nervous that he's not going to be able to make it another 4 years. He really wanted to go out there and show that he could get it done. The thing I thought was really curious was he was like 25 minutes late getting there. And before it started, you know, all the news shows were showing a camera shot at the White House. And I just kept thinking to myself, I thought, gosh, I hope he didn't die in there. I hope they didn't like overdose him. They gave him a little too much of something. And the doctor's like, oh shit, he's going into AFib or whatever. And then I thought, I don't wish that on the man anything. You know my thoughts. It's truly, I think it's elder abuse what they've done to him. But then I thought about, can you imagine if that was announced on the floor of the Senate and you could see Kamala's reaction? Because you know she'd be jumping up and down, but then she would have to catch herself and come up with some crocodile tears to be mourning. Like, she wouldn't know what the hell to do, mm-hmm. whether to mourn or whether to jump up and down or just start laughing, just mm-hmm. convulsively laugh. So that was my moment of, I wonder what's going to happen there. And then he walked out and got in, but he had some doozies. So, you know, he kind of ran the gamut. I guess the first thing I would say about it is if you don't know what the definition of gaslighting is, that speech was a perfect example of gaslighting, because everything he said was not taking into account the lives of real Americans, because he said the economy's strong, never been stronger.
Unemployment rate.
Lowest, low, interest coming down.
Inflation coming down.
Yep. Safe.
Manufacturing in the United States is coming back better than it's ever been before.
No crime.
Yep, zero.
Safe, border secure. We are
abortion. Strong, yep. Letting abortion run free, however anybody wants to do it.
Basically, the only problem that he didn't have an answer for was the size, the number of chips in a bag of potato chips. He was pretty upset about shrinkflation, and obviously he does not realize how manufacturing of a commodity works, where the cost of goods sold and, you know, the cost of labor and what your choices are there. But he was pretty upset with all the potato chip manufacturers and cereal. But other than that, I didn't hear anything that was like either A, to me, believable, because everybody that I talk to, we really are living in a country of two worlds, and I don't honestly know whether it really is two worlds or it's just two worlds at the very top of the political class, because I don't talk to anybody. I was just at a deal in Des Moines yesterday with ad executives, and I didn't talk to anybody that was telling me about how excited they were for the way things are this year and how they're going to up their budget and the amount of money they're spending on anything. That conversation didn't happen. Everybody I talked to, it's tighten your belt, a lot of uncertainty. The end of 24 is really scary to think about because we just don't know what's going to happen. Not anything like what Joe Biden portrayed last night. So I don't know. I don't know where all these people are that are so fired up that think that everything is so much better than when he took office.
Yeah, I would just say I watched it and it was just like a slap in the face to what you said, all real Americans that feel all the shit that we're going through because of that administration's hand. That was not fun to watch. That's why I shut it off. That's why my fiance could barely watch any of it, because it is a slap in the face. He's telling you everything's great when everybody knows it's not. Everybody that's living actually in the streets has a job contributing to society and not in the upper class of the political game. they all feel the repercussions of what's happening in this country day to day. They all feel it on their grocery bill. They all feel it on their utility bill. They all feel it on their insurance and rates going up. They feel it on gas prices. They feel it on everything. Everybody feels it. And then when you go up there and you don't take accountability and you don't say what we're going to do to fix it, but you just lie to us and say it's all fucking great. Like, you're throwing out statistics like it's going out of style and like it's all great. And I don't even, like, if those were really true statistics, like, I don't buy that those are real statistics.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way those are real. Those are just, like, talking points.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they are, but I don't feel like if that's really the case, then we would be in a better situation than where we are right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, I saw a guy talk about, it's like we're in the Hunger Games. If anybody's ever watched that movie or read those books, that was kind of a very big book series or movie series when I was a kid or growing up. But, you know, it's like, it's this premise of the story is the government's really controlling and they have this game every year and then they vote in 13 kids to be in this arena and they fight to the death and everybody watches. And it's like, all the citizens are peasants and it's the controlling cabinet that like laughs at all the peasants and controls them all. It's like that. It just feels like two fucking worlds where the legacy media, the people that sit up on the stage and talk about politics and talk about us citizens like we're fucking peasants. And then the politicians flat out just lying to our fucking faces about what we face every day and saying it's all great when we all know it's not. Like, It is. It's two different worlds. It's manipulation. It's bullshit. It's scary and it's incompetence. And it's just, you don't even know what to think because I was just watching it last night. I just could not believe. It's exactly what you said. That was his chance to get everybody to support him in the Democratic Party to see it, say that he could do it again. But also, it's one of his only chances that he's going to be able to get out there and get his message out of what he's quote unquote been able to do because he ain't going to fucking debate Trump because Trump will run his ass through the coals and he's not going to get out much. He's just not because he's not going to be able to.
No. And I thought it was interesting. He didn't really lay out like what's his goal for the next 4 years. He didn't really lay that out. He talked about prescription drug prices, and I thought about, actually, Trish was talking about that this morning. She's like, somebody needs to go back and make a montage of every president from the first one that started talking about prescription drug prices and how they were going to lower prescription drug prices. And I realize Joe Biden, you know, when you get to be his age, prescription drug prices is probably pretty important because drugs are a big part of
that
his life.
That cup of ambition.
Yes, exactly right.
It's pricey.
But, you know, like that's not really a platform to run on. And obviously the border. And he was talking about the border a little bit and it just blew my mind because earlier, I want to say it was yesterday or the day before, Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, was on Brett Baer's show on Fox, and they showed quite a bit of footage of the border there in Eagle Pass, and they were showing all these illegals coming across the river, and I mean it's full of razor wire and blue plastic barrels, and there's no way to get through, and they're walking along trying to find some place to get through, and the Border Patrol or the Texas National Guard, they have people there that are bilingual, and they're just yelling at them that there's no place to get in here. You know, you need to move along. And they actually talked to a guy that's wearing a Biden-Harris 2020 shirt.
Yeah,
they haven't got the new stuff out yet. And he was saying, you know, like, let me in, that he thought if he wore this shirt, they're going to let him in. But for Biden to say that they need all this money to do it, to fix the border, when you go there or when you see what's going on there, it's not like you need a freaking miracle to stop these people from coming across the border. You just need to enforce the laws that are already on the books and fill the gaps. Fill the gaps. I mean, we should have finished that border wall.
That should have been done decades ago.
We could have finished that border wall. I want to say it was $8 billion, maybe. Don't quote me on that, but you can look it up. Compared to what we have sent to Ukraine.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket.
It is a pittance what we could have finished that border wall for.
It's a drop in the bucket.
So, anyway, it was a whole lot of...
Yeah, Joe Rogan, I listened to a podcast when Dr. Phil went on there, on his podcast, and Dr. Phil actually went down to the border and talked to Border Patrol, and they said, all we need, because Dr. Phil flat out asked him, what do you guys need to be able to execute the job that you're doing at a better rate? Like, how do we stop what's going on from how do we stop it? And he's like, just let us do our jobs. Let us enforce the laws that we're supposed to enforce.
Yeah.
Because right now we're not able to do that.
Yep.
We're not able to do that. People come across, they give them a court date in 7 years. Let them go.
Yep.
Let them go. That's how it is. It's a shit show down there.
Yep.
And it's not just Hispanics. It's not. It's all different walks of life
people
coming
from all
over the world because they know that it's open and the news is out that it's open. And male, fighting age males coming over. It's not a good deal. And anybody that calls you a racist because you're concerned about the fucking border being wide open is just trying to manipulate you at the end of the day because it is a serious issue. It really is a serious issue. I'm all for immigration. If we didn't have immigration, America wouldn't be where it is today. Mm-hmm. That's a fucking fact. That's just a fact. But we've never seen it like this before.
Yeah.
It's never been this bad.
Yeah.
It's never been this bad. And with all the crazy shit that's going on around the world right now with wars and Hamas and I don't know, just they see that our president is weak. There's a lot of opportunity for other countries to come in here and do some shit. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. That's what I feel like. So, yeah, I just, overall, my thoughts just slap in the face.
Did he win you over?
Nope. No, I had to shut off.
Me over either.
I shut off the TV. I shut off the TV. It's a slap in the face. Yeah. Everybody that watched that, unless you're an idiot and you just buy everything that the legacy media tells you and you buy everything that Biden tells you and you don't look into anything other than the headline, you probably sat there and went, yeah, you know what? Joe's got it. Joe's got it. But if you're an intelligent human being, common sense human being, and you live in America, you probably looked at that and said, wow, that's the biggest load of shit I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was, it's what you would expect a politician that is trying to stay in office to do. Although I would say his tone was pretty... The tone of that speech was,
I thought,
more political than I've ever seen it.
I thought the highlight of it, fairly surprised at how well he was able to deliver the speech.
Yep.
Versus what else he's put out before. So, yeah. For his condition and what his age, he did a good job delivering it, but it was a bunch of bullshit. Dumpster fire of what came out of his mouth.
So, real quick, moving on, since things are tight, How are you making ends meet? How are you feeding your family?
Well, I was informed by the Kellogg CEO that if times get tough, we better just switch to cereal for dinner.
Just eat cereal?
Just eat cereal because we'll get all our nutritional value out of that cereal and we'll be able to feed everybody at an effective price and we'll be able to budget all the way till the cows come home.
I haven't bought, I'm a recovering cereal addict. I used to eat a lot of cereal. Most of it not during morning hours. I was a late night cereal person.
You were a late night cereal person. You did a little better though. I mean, it was like everything. You 80s kids, you know, you just got fed all, you were like, you're practically rats, scientific rats. All the pop, all the really, really kid cereals. What'd you like the most?
When I was a kid...
It's the blueberry shit, isn't it?
Yeah, they don't even make it anymore. They used to have this line of cereal that was all monster-themed. Boo-berry.
Boo-berry.
Frankenberry. Count Chocula. Count Chocula made it the longest because it was the General Mills opposite of Cocoa Puffs.
Mm.
So even when they canned the rest of them, they kept Count Chocula around.
No Red 140 in that, probably, or Red 40.
So
Red 40.
Frankenberry, everything was, that was all red, pink, so it was 100% Red yeah. 40, probably Red 40,
mix
39, 38, yeah. 37, 36. It's probably where they perfected Red 40. Yeah. They probably started with like Red 5, and then the kids that had tumors, and they're like, we're going to go to 6,
mm-hmm.
then 7, they settled on 40.
Yeah. Well, as you got older, I was just saying, yeah, you were kind of, you know, the 80s kids, you lived the life, you had a damn good time, but you kind of just
sugar
ate.
Cereal and yeah. garden hose water.
Yeah. Well, the garden hose water, that's all right.
Yep.
That's the true American way right there. But anyway, as you got older, you started eating like Honey Bunches of Oats, which isn't any better, but you know.
Not really, but
feel a little better.
There's some actual grains in it. You're yeah. like, oh, that looks pretty healthy.
Yeah, I think the whole Honey Nut Cheerios running on low cholesterol, and that's going to save
heart
your
healthy.
Life. Heart healthy, that's kind of coming. Those days of telling us that cereal's good for you are kind of coming to an end, I believe. And so this was just another...
He was just trying to get his moment in the sun.
He was, but he did not think that through very good at all.
No. People were all over it.
Telling Americans to, hey, if you're not happy with what you're spending, just eat fucking cereal for dinner. How in your right mind do you think that's a good idea to bring up? That probably just pissed off. What pissed me off, I wasn't very happy. Oh, so you want us to just keep eating cereal and being unhealthy fucks and then dying? And then also, you know, that just makes me say, well, why don't we just fix the country so I can buy more steak? Because
exactly.
that's healthier for me.
We need
and my
to
family.
Find, you know,
a good place to buy the steaks?
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's a good
I know of one really good place, but.
Nice. We won't do the shameless yeah. plug there. I don't know. You got anything else about that?
No, that was a quick one. I just, wrong thing to do there.
Poor messaging,
wrong time to bring up that. Not, a lot of Americans are not happy about what came out of his mouth. And I think everybody is kind of getting to the point where we realize, yeah, processed foods, cereal, probably not the best for longevity. And being told that you should probably just eat that for dinner, why don't we just put some more dollars back into Americans' pockets?
You know, this is a little bit down a rabbit hole, but if you ever want some interesting reading, read the story of a company called Mondelez.
I just want to say,
go ahead.
Other thing about that is, it's funny how he tells Americans to do that, but what's he doing for dinner?
Well, he's probably...
He's 5-starring, Michelin star, steak on... I mean, he's probably ordering a fucking tomahawk everywhere he goes.
Probably.
But he's telling us... That's the other thing. It's like the peasant thing again. Oh, you peasants just eat cereal for dinner. Yeah, fuck you, dickhead.
Yeah, it's definitely a class thing. I think there's a lot of that.
God.
I think there's a lot of that out there in the elites that they just want to sell you the idea that they're really looking out for us and we're just not smart enough to take care of ourselves. But, you know, tastes are changing and people are waking up. And I feel like my generation and older, we grew up we were somewhat naive in the fact that we believed the media that was put in front of us. So we grew up in the explosion of, you know, television, radio, print media was all going. And I think we bought a lot of that shit hook, line, and sinker. So, you know, when something new came out, when TV dinners came out and this kind of cereal came out, well, look at margarine. My parents grew up, you fried everything in lard. And then there was this huge campaign. And I'd say it must have been subtle, but it was there that, oh, you don't want to do that. That's unhealthy.
Vegetable.
You should use vegetable oil and you should use margarine. You shouldn't use butter. And you shouldn't have bacon and eggs for breakfast. You should have cereal. And grains were healthier. You had to cut out meat, had to cut out eggs, had to cut out butter. And that all came through that. And now then, you know, that's all kind of going away because people are realizing the health consequences of what that's caused to our country and our obesity epidemic that we have. But also brand loyalty has just gone to shit amongst a lot of these big conglomerates. And so what I was talking about Mondelez was, so Kraft Foods was actually at one time owned by Philip Morris. Philip Morris was a huge cigarette company, and they owned Kraft. And then they spun Kraft off, and Kraft owned Nabisco, and huge conglomerate, and printing money, dividend stock every year, dividend going up, because it was a staple. Like, my mom was a name brand buyer, Nabisco, Kraft. I mean, Kraft macaroni and cheese was, in my mind, the only macaroni and cheese there was. There was no other. And so I don't know exactly what year that was. It was sometime in the 2000s. There was this company that put together a deal to buy out Kraft and Nabisco, and it was called Mondelez. And their idea was that they were going to buy all these old school brands and they were going to modernize them. And they were real big on technology and efficiency. They were going to streamline their operations and they were going to make just a freaking fortune. And they bought them. And you could not have timed that any worse. And I don't know. I haven't kept up on the stock. Maybe the stock is making money. But I feel like they bought that right at the time where consumers' faith in all these old brands really started to fall away. And today, I don't feel like people have...
There's no trust.
Well, people don't watch commercials. They don't build... Like, they don't build relationships with
it's
brands.
It's different because those brands aren't the same brands that have a TikTok account showing you them packing a Kraft box order for Daniel. There's no relationship with the brand because they don't care. They've never had to have a relationship with you. You just trusted, oh, convenience, awesome, healthy, whatever they tell you. But now you can't, like, it's a different world. It's a completely different landscape when it comes to brands. People want to support brands that show you who they are. And it's almost like rooting, like there's this culture on TikTok and just short form content now where businesses are documenting their kind of their journey or showing you behind the scenes of what's happening at the warehouse, or like, look at the bearded butchers.
Yep.
They're showing you how they're cutting up animals step by step, cattle, pigs, whatever, right? They're showing you everything.
Yep.
People love that. Yep. People want to be a part and support brands that like show what's going on.
Yeah.
And those brands haven't done that and they never will do that. And the other thing is their product sucks when it comes to long-term health.
So you could show the story of dehydrating and grinding cheddar cheese and making it into a powder and then adding color to it.
Yeah. That's the problem.
But nobody's gonna buy it. And it's like whoever's making the chicken nuggets, they could take you on the journey, but nobody wants
exactly.
A chicken
They're
nugget.
Fucked. They can't do that. Nope, they can't do that. That's the thing. Yeah. They know they can't do it because it's shitty for you.
Right.
They've gotten away with it for so long, but they can't do it anymore.
When people made that pivot from don't just tell me, but show me, all these consumer brands were fucked.
Yeah, they
that
are.
That was when they're like, oh, shit.
Well, and some of them are trying to buy other brands that they can hopefully, they'll probably try to get rid of the old ones and kind of buy new ones, which, because a lot of them own, I mean, all the products you see in a grocery store, most of them are owned by these conglomerates. I mean, there's some new ones coming up that are saying, no, fuck you, we're not doing that. And that's the other thing. It's not only just not being able to trust them because they don't show you anything and the product's unhealthy, but just the idea, people don't want to buy from conglomerates anymore.
That is 100% true.
They don't want to buy that shit.
I will give you a great example of that just popped up. And the only reason I bring it up is because we know it And a lot of you, if any of you go to Costco and spend $300 to get a pack of batteries, because, you know, you go to Costco, oh, we need paper towels and batteries, and then you leave and you have two carts full of shit because it's like, oh, damn, that's a good deal. I need a 5-gallon jar of pickles, you know, whatever. But there is a pasta sauce that they were selling at Costco, and they did have it the last time I was at our Costco. But it is this pasta sauce, and it's made in Italy. And people are up in arms because the brand sold and Campbell's Foods bought it.
Mm.
And supposedly they changed the recipe because the jar said product of Italy. And I haven't seen it. I just saw it, and I listened to it because we've bought that brand of pasta sauce before. But anyway, they claim that now then it doesn't say made in Italy. So that's a perfect example. They bought it, and they're going to make it their own and then pull the switcheroo and whatever. And people are pissed.
They'll probably add a few ingredients in there.
Cheaper production.
Yep.
Yep.
Won't just say made with tomatoes. It'll say tomatoes and...
Oh, it won't even say tomatoes. It's tomatoes from concentrate.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but... That was what everybody was like, I'm not buying it if Campbell's name's on it.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't want to hate on America's food system. I mean, there are definitely some flaws, but we are blessed. We've not had famine in this country, but people's health is suffering because of the shit that's on the shelves. And these companies, they had this run, but now it's kind of coming to an end, and you're getting companies like, what's that fucking pop you have in your fridge now? Poppy? Is it Poppy?
Oh, yeah, cream soda.
Yeah, there's cream soda, there's lemon lime. It's like sugar-free.
Yeah.
It's like 100%. It's a probiotic soda.
Yeah.
And then there's these chips that came out that are literally made with avocado oil, potato chips, and sea salt. Like, people are wanting simple foods that are made with real ingredients, not a bunch of bullshit on that ingredients list. And I know potato chips aren't the greatest thing to eat. You probably shouldn't eat them all the time, but people are smarter. Now, people are aware, and they want to support people, not corporations.
Yep.
They want to see the people behind the brand. They want to see the struggle. They want to see behind the scenes. They want to identify with you. And Kellogg, you don't got a fucking chance when it comes to that shit.
Yep.
And telling people they should eat cereal for dinner is a big fuck you to a lot of people.
Never going back. There you go.
All right.
What's next?
Next is Trump. Is the new
Trump's
he's the last man standing. Yep, he's the man. Nikki Haley dropped her ass out about time. And so Democrats are probably scrambling a little bit because a lot of people speculated that she was the candidate that they wanted to run to win the nomination, Nikki Haley, because she was a Republican, quote unquote, but she was probably
a rhino.
She was a rhino. Yep. Yeah, people are speculating that, and people are always wondering where she was getting all this money. So,
and she hasn't endorsed Trump.
Nope, she didn't endorse Trump. She wished him all the best, but she didn't endorse him.
So it's interesting. You can tell that she is pretty much burning her bridges. And, well, I don't think she cares because I don't think she does not care about the party because you take somebody like Mitch McConnell, which I don't have much love for Mitch McConnell. And
Mitch don't know where the fuck he's at either.
He doesn't either. It's a good thing he's done. He's not running again. Good. He's quitting.
Yeah.
But
it's been a few too many times.
He and Trump have had nothing. They haven't had a good relationship. But he came out and he endorsed Trump. He's getting behind him. Pretty much all of your Republicans are doing that. But Nikki Haley, nope, she's not. And I think that you will see her. I don't know whether you'll see her migrate to the Democratic Party, but she's definitely going to run for office. She will run for Senate at some point because she's got the military industrial complex supporting her. And if she does run and if she is elected, she will fall right in line with the establishment that we have.
Yeah, everybody knows she's bought.
Yeah.
I got nothing against having a woman president. If Candace Owens fucking ran, sign me up. Yeah. If I like, what's the other lady?
Tulsi.
I love Tulsi. I mean, I don't know everything, but I've listened to a lot of her content and what she comes out of her mouth. She's a common sense American woman.
Yep.
I also like Carrie Lake. Love her. I don't give a shit. I would love if the right candidate came along and she was a woman, I got no fucking problem with that. But when you start spurting shit out of your mouth about how you may be tied to the military-industrial complex and that how your past career was that, and you don't say the shit that we're all thinking because you want to stay inside the lines of the establishment, it's pretty clear to everybody that you're playing the game that they want you to play. And I'm happy that she dropped out, and I'm happy Trump got the nomination. And let's just hope that, I don't know, there's a lot to still happen between now and November. But
so the Supreme Court ruled last week that no state's going to be able to keep him off the ballot. So Colorado, the initiative that Colorado started is the one that went to the Supreme Court. And then Massachusetts and I think Vermont followed suit and took him off. And that was a 9-0 decision. So all nine justices, there was no dissent. So that tells you it's very clear, because there's four of the justices that are definitely liberal leaning. And I was really surprised that Joe Biden was as derogatory towards the Supreme Court last night as what he was. There was two different times that he kind of reprimanded them. He didn't look them in the eye, and he didn't call them out by name, but that's definitely what he was talking about. I was really surprised about that, because that decision was completely unpartisan. So that tells you that they didn't have a leg to stand on. But
so what, he was yelling at him because of the ruling that just came out about?
It wasn't the ruling about Trump. It was something else. Oh. I can't remember what. If I would have prepared a little better, I probably could have told you that. But you asked me too good a question. I can't remember.
Well, it's all right. I thought maybe they were pissed that they said that they're not going to keep him off.
Well, I'm sure he was upset about that.
Yeah,
obviously.
I know. But he couldn't come out and say that.
I don't think he
was. Yeah, it's unconstitutional. I mean, that shouldn't have even been a question. You can't fucking, no state has that right to keep somebody off the ballot if the American people choose that he's the man.
Well, it's the insurrection clause.
It's bullshit.
And the thing is, he hasn't been charged as an insurrectionist. Ironically, anybody been charged or convicted of insurrection? Of all of the people that were at January
5th? I don't think so. It's all been other shit.
No.
It's all been other shit.
No, nobody has. So no. I don't know why they keep calling it an insurrection when...
I don't know. They keep trying to take him to court on all kinds of different things. And I think their plan is to just try to hopefully bankrupt him.
Yes.
Bankrupt him, pay all the money in court fees so that he doesn't have enough money to campaign. But
he's got the...
He's still chugging along, and he's still trying his... I think he already has enough support.
He's got the RNC money now. And for anybody out there that thinks that they are going to bankrupt him, I don't know whether this is known or unknown, but his social media platform, Truth Social, that IPO. And basically his ownership in it, if he sold the stock he has, it would be like $4 billion.
Yeah, it's a billion-dollar company.
So he's got all the money he needs, worst case scenario. Yeah. What do you think is next on the agenda as far as the Democrats go? Because the one thing that you don't want to have happen is you don't want to get to midsummer and Trump is your nominee. Trump is not encumbered in any way to become president, and he's running against Joe Biden. So how are you going to stop?
Yeah, the Nikki Haley plan didn't work for them. So I think it's try to get him in prison, but they got nothing. There's nothing they can get him on. Unless
the Georgia case.
But the judges are corrupt as fuck. The judicial branch and just judges across the nation, there's a lot of corrupt fucking people in law nowadays. These judges are not
there's at a local level, there's much more politics, I feel like. I feel like you have, so New York, obviously, the judge that presided over that civil trial, obviously very partisan, probably should have recused himself. I can't say it.
Yeah.
Whatever. But didn't. I feel like if you can get, heard by, at the federal level, the playing field is a little more level. But I agree. I think their plan is to somehow get him
prison, death, or bankrupt him.
Yeah. And you're not going to bankrupt him.
What the fuck can you do other than that? And if not, if they can't stop him and he runs and he ends up winning, if there's a fair election, then it is, this is why the border's been open for this long. Then it's, let's cause as much fucking mayhem while he's president as we possibly fucking can so that he cannot do what he is setting out to do.
Which is
fix the country. So whether that means a fucking blackout, whether that means a terrorist attack, whether that means another fucking pandemic, yeah, here we go. We got something new for you guys that are watching. Look at that. we got these bad boys.
This is to keep all the listening devices out.
Yep.
We got
no mind controlling, nothing coming in here, straight skeptical. If you're listening, we just threw on some Barn Talk official tinfoil hats that Dad rigged up before this episode.
To protect us.
So we got some pretty sick, we look pretty sick right now, but
we look
anyway,
a little bit like Devo.
Yeah, we do. But yeah, so pandemic, another pandemic, a terrorist attack. An EMP power out shit, or what else did I say?
Terrorists.
Yeah. I mean, just.
You name it.
Throw it out. Make it a nightmare.
Yeah.
Make it a nightmare for him. If you can't stop him and he wins fairly, and you can't rig that because it's so fucking outrageous how many people are going to vote for him because they're sick of Biden's shit, then just make his presidency an absolute fucking dumpster fire. So all he has to focus on is all the shit that you make go wrong while he's president, and he can't focus on fixing the shit that we face today.
If he wins, will they certify the election? Do you think they'll certify the election?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
I think it'll be a fight.
Unless they got a plan to make it just an absolute
dumpster fire.
Dumpster fire.
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
I agree. I just cannot see a path that it ends up being Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I mean, we're here, we're in March, and so the Democratic convention is coming, and if they allow him to run, more power to him. I mean, I hope that we get to the end and he wins and they all decide if we can't beat him, we'll join him.
Yep.
Think they'll do that? Any chance of that?
Nope.
Probably not.
Another wild card in this whole thing is Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy Jr. He's an independent, but there's, I don't know. He, out of all the independent candidates that we've had for, you know, anybody that's ran as one, he's the strongest in deck. I mean, fuck, he's the strongest out there that there's ever been. Who knows?
Possible.
It's possible, but I mean, when you talk about the rules, they don't allow you to go to debates. They don't allow you to go do shit when you're an independent because you're not part of the fucking system that you want to be, that they want you to be a part of. So I don't know. He's a wild card, and I would definitely want Trump, but then I'd want him second option. Definitely not Biden. So,
okay.
But I don't know. We'll see. He's a wild card in there. He who knows? There's a lot of young voters out there.
We put these on a little bit early,
but it fits.
But I want to get through this next bit because the heat from my brain is radiating down.
Can you get it on?
It's just kind of sitting.
It's kind of just sitting on your
it's
head.
It's just kind of sitting. I have a pretty large melon, and there's several layers. This is not a single layer of tinfoil because I wanted to make sure that I was.
You guys
protected.
Knew.
Always have protection. Hey guys, if you're a livestock producer, you've got manure. Our partner has your solution. Livestock Water and Energy creates clean, recyclable water, carbon credits, and two solid byproducts, fertilizer and the salts, from processing manure in real time. They clean the manure, and we get clean, recyclable water back to the barn, clean as a whistle. This process creates additional revenue streams for the livestock producer that they didn't have before. These guys are putting something together, and it's starting to smell like opportunity. Give them a shout at livestockwaterandenergy.com and watch our journey with them. We've partnered with these guys. Check out our YouTube channel, This'll Do Farm, and follow the journey there. Now let's get back to it. So you said you talked about another pandemic. You see that, and this is a little bit older. We just haven't been able to have a hot topics, but it's terribly ironic that now then COVID, per the CDC, should be treated just like the flu.
Yep.
It's the same way, but they did clarify. It's not that it was always to be treated like the flu. The only reason that it is flu-like now is because the strength of the vaccine has made the power of COVID less, to the point that now it was very powerful before, and everything that they told you to do that, you know, damn near killed a lot of people, and I would argue did kill a lot of people, that needed to be done. It's just that now it has weakened from the vaccine. So I was digging around and I saw a study, and do your own research, because
this is why these hats are on.
Yeah, this is why this is on. And Sawyer asked me, he goes, do you got the study? What study was that? And
I said, do you know. Got the source?
Yeah, do you got the source? I had the source,
but
and
you
I didn't
write
it
down
because I was like, oh, well, that sounds
so
legit.
So do your own research.
It's out there, though. It's not like some...
And I've seen this, too. I've seen this popping around more and more people. I mean, it's coming around that this COVID shit wasn't as bad as what they were telling us. And I mean, a lot of people kind of already think that anyway, so.
This wasn't a community college medical research thing. This was a legit, either by the CDC or some big medical deal. But roughly about 90% of the deaths of COVID, people who passed away from COVID or were classified at COVID, they had at least one of four other pre-existing conditions, and that's among everybody, and among people that were vaccinated, 70% of them had one of these four, and the list was obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and I couldn't find what the last one was. I saw it and then I forgot it, but you know, and the other big thing that they've learned is one of the worst things they did was put people on ventilators.
Early on
when they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. Putting people on a ventilator, that was like a death sentence. So it's just crazy to me the number of businesses that were ruined, the number of lives that were ruined, all those doctors that got like throttled, disbarred, fired.
It was single-handedly... It was the thing that triggered inside me that, holy shit, this is never happened before, and this makes me not trust my government or the system that I am more than ever before. That was the catalyst. That was the thing that did it for me.
I think you're 100% right, and I think that is what they vastly underestimated. I think the political class in this country and the world really totally underestimated people's ability to put it together and look at it and go, these fuckers do not care about us. We can't trust them. And I know for a lot of people that I talk to, COVID was the beginning of, I would say, kind of an awakening that no matter what side of the aisle you're on politically, you realize that your government, one, probably isn't telling you the truth, and two, does not have your best interest in mind.
No. I mean, and no accountability. Like, no, we have no accountability to this day, nobody. Where's fucking Fauci at? That dude, he should be fucking locked up. I mean, the amount of lives that were ruined on the fucking pure lies that they ran, they flat out were telling us, if you get the vaccine, you cannot get COVID and you cannot transmit COVID. That came out to be bullshit. And they were labeling the unvaccinated like fucking, like we were the minority and that we are the fucking problem. I didn't get fucking vaccinated. I'll flat out tell you, motherfuckers, I didn't get vaccinated because I didn't trust them bastards at all. And I got COVID once and it wasn't even bad and I haven't got it since. So that's my two cents. That's my experience. Might not be for you. But that ruined a lot of people's lives. Small businesses made corporations richer. A lot of mental health fucking happening now with young kids and not being able to go to school and depression and all this shit. And those small businesses are never going to recover. Nope. All those restaurants, all that stuff. Like, it's not like they just had money just sitting on the sidelines. They had to operate their business. And if there was no business, they're out. They're out of business. They can no longer operate. No aid for those people. Yeah, you had the stimmies, but that wasn't going to save anybody's small business.
I just bought Bitcoin.
And you were same. I did too. I invested it. We were just pure out. It was just flat out lies. It was flat out lies. And, you know, it's just not saying it didn't kill people, not saying that it wasn't a disease that killed people, but they were literally treating this like it was the fucking Black Plague when the numbers don't even compare. They don't even compare. They blew it out of proportion. And ultimately, I think it was to control us, to see how far they could get away with it, to see how far we would fucking comply. And it gets down to the fucking, the idea we'd go into restaurants. Our kids are going to literally, my kids are literally going to go, how in the fuck did you guys even do that? Like, how were you even thinking that that was...
How is it okay to go sit at the bar, but it wasn't okay to go sit at a table?
You walk into a restaurant, you got to have your mask on, but when you go sit at the table, then you can take your mask off.
Yep.
Or I was just listening to Olympic swimmer that, what's her name? Riley Gaines. Riley Gaines. During COVID, as an athlete, as a swimmer, they had to wear masks in the pool to train for swimming, NCAA swimming. They had to wear masks in the pool while they were swim training.
How'd that work?
Didn't work very well. She said it sucked. It was terrible. Just the stupidity among it was crazy. And I think all that shit was just to see
how far.
How far can we control these people? How many lies can we tell them? And how compliant will they actually be? That's all I'll say about it. But that was the awakening moment. Because like I was a lot of people when it first started happening and like you start seeing some of the footage of people being thrown, dead bodies being thrown on boats in China. Yep. You're a little like, oh shit, like this ain't good.
This is the end.
But as they start banning doctors that come out and say there might be a better way to treat it and the vaccine's the only way and they start berating people that don't get vaccinated, it just the chain of events.
Ivermectin thing. We forget about the ivermectin thing.
Yes, they banned it.
We've gone through all this now then to come to find out, that actually worked pretty well.
The thing that pisses me off about it the most, because there was a lot of lives that were ruined because of it, not just because of COVID, the actual disease and people dying, but what the lockdown did to people's lives. No accountability for the people.
There's
no
accountability. There's a whole generation of kids that are going to have trouble from this.
Yeah.
We have yet to see the implications of that age a child have to deal with that level of being alone and not being able to go to school. So one last thing, I didn't know this, but last night we found out that the other bonus is, according to Uncle Joan, the vaccine cures cancer.
Yeah, I did. He subtly dropped that in there.
Yeah,
Subtly dropped that in there that the vaccine cures cancer now. The COVID vaccine cures cancer now. He subtly dropped that in there.
The cocktail might have been tailing off a little bit.
Yeah. He might have been losing his marbles a little
bit. Okay, my head's getting awful hot. I think I'm cooking my brain.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Your hair's a little messed up now.
I got to go back to my hat.
Yeah, I do too.
Go back to my hat.
That's good. That was a good segment.
Woo!
I don't know. We're not going to call that anything. It's just when we throw those on and you start hearing some ruffling on the microphones, you know we got our hats on, our tinfoil hats on. So
let's go back. Iowa news. This is local news or Midwest news. Last week, there was two tracts of land that sold up in Sioux County, and they brought $29,600 an acre. I take that back. The highest priced 80 I think it was 280s. Somebody can correct me on that. But the highest price one brought $29,600 an acre. So you have to ask yourself, because no matter what fuzzy math you use, there's no way that you can farm that ground to generate the income over a normal amortization period to pay for that ground. So you have to ask yourself, what is driving that? Why are people willing to pay that much money for an asset that arguably, and I realize there are guys that bought ground back at the beginning, I'd say at the very end of the stagnation of land prices. You know, there were guys that bought land around here for $9,000, $10,000 an acre, and everybody said, well, there's no way they'll ever get their money out of that. Okay, one, if you pay $26,000, $29,600, will you get your money out of it? So I'm 52. So would I ever get my money out of it? Would it ever appreciate beyond what I paid for it? I don't know. So my question is, why are people willing to pay that? And all I can come back to is that the stock market, there, it just goes to all the uncertainty that we've talked about throughout this whole podcast. I saw this statistic, and I guess I don't know how I missed this, but this guy was saying that the wealthiest 10% of Americans own roughly 90% of the stock in the stock market, and only 10% of the stocks, 10% of the companies in the stock market hold 90% of the stock market value. So it's a very small, you have a small group of the population, and then you have a small number of companies that the entire value of our economy is tied to those companies. So if you are someone and you have wealth and you're looking at that with all of the uncertainty around the world, I think that's why you have people that are looking for other places to put it. That's the only answer I can give.
Yeah, I was going to say store value. It's just continually goes up. But it's like, okay, don't expect to rent. Because, like, if that's the case, they're probably not farming it.
No.
So they're going to rent it out.
Yep.
So they better not expect to
cash flow.
It's not going to cash flow if you farmed it or if you rented it out. It's just not going to cash flow. But maybe they don't give a shit.
Not with corn at $4.26 a bushel.
On a regular year, it ain't going to cash flow.
I mean, that's the thing is...
Average year, it's not cash flowing.
We're really at a weird point because land values have continued to trend higher and our input costs, our living costs, our equipment costs have all risen. And now then we're in a situation where our commodity prices have stagnated and actually gone down. So the pressure on farmland prices... you would think they would be really starting to come to bear. And a lot of people thought that we had topped the land market, and then these sales happened, and you're like, okay. So I don't know. It's a really weird time. I'd like to know what you all think about that, because I think it'll be a really strange situation where if this trend continues where land sales – and land values either stay where they're at or continue to increase, but yet on-farm income decreases to where what you can rent that asset out for compared to what you paid for it, your return keeps getting crushed. I don't know. I just think it's It's just a it's just one more thing in this country that's pretty damn strange.
It's whack. Right now. It's going to be hard to farm. It's becoming harder to farm.
Yeah.
It's becoming harder to farm every day. But it's like, it's all the farmers we talked to in the last three episodes. David.
Iowan farmer.
Wisconsin Titan.
Yep.
Every single one of them you ask, what's your outlook on the next 3 years, 5 years of farming? They're not saying it's going to be very promising. It's not looking like it's going to be a highlight reel. And you ask them about this year's crop, this upcoming year's crop. All of them will tell you, it's not looking great. It's not looking great. And this is just another one of those things that it's working against the American farmer. And when the American consumer says, well, why are all these family farms going out of business? We don't want any more corporate farms, just like they don't want any corporations that are making food products. Well, this is what's happening.
Yeah. And I think that's worth talking about, because if you just think about that, think about being in that situation. If you are a 60 some year old farmer and you are lucky enough that you've got a chunk of ground and it's paid for and you're grain farming, your return on that land is not great enough that you're able to start another generation to farm, or you may not have any kids that want to farm. You may not have any kids, period. But you're sitting there and you're looking at that, and you have come through a time that we probably had the highest profitability in ag that we've had in a long time. And that has ended, you know, the last 3-4 years. Why wouldn't you cash in? But then the answer to that is, if you cash in, you're just like that investor that paid that money, because what are you going to do? What are you going to do with that money?
Well, they don't care. They're going to live their life. They're going to live their life if they don't have any kids, or their kids don't want to farm, they're just going to enjoy their life the rest of the way, probably. Yeah. But, you know, a solution that I see that could maybe help, but it involves government, is incentivize old farmers to sell their ground to people that want to farm, young people that want to farm, and make it work for both people. You know?
Yeah.
Try to help old farmers sell their land to new farmers or existing family farms instead of corporations, or else we're going to have the same fucking problem we have everywhere else where corporations dominate.
Yeah.
And I know that's not how capitalism works. You know, it's highest bidder or whatever, but it's like, it's kind of your food supply, dude. Kind of matters. Kind of matters who controls that a little bit. So
the family farmers, do they have a lot of... How's our lobbying capacity in government? Do you think we can get a lot of people
don't have on much board with that? Don't have much. This podcast, we can probably get a little bit. A
little bit.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Hopefully it keeps going. But I don't know. It's just, it's all working against you. It's all working against you. And so it's always back to what we say. If you're going to want to farm nowadays, you're going to have to bust your ass.
Yeah, you better not count on just that farm, just that enterprise. You better have multiple enterprises. It's so funny because a lot of people in business will tell you, you know, you find your passion.
Stick with it, go.
Stick with that and just go. The problem is, if you are strictly a grain farmer,
you're going to have to go and go far, and there's a lot of fucking headaches with that.
There is a lot, and I don't know at the end of the day whether that works. I feel like you about have to.
And long-term, will it can... Because you get enough acres, it'll work, right? You get enough acres today, it'll work. But that number will continue to rise of how many acres you'll need for it to pencil, just strictly grain farming, without anything else. And so we'll get to a point where it's like... Because you go, if you keep expanding, it's just that many more people you got to hire, that much more equipment you got to get, that many more grain bins you got to build,
that much bigger line of credit.
I mean, it's a game that you play. That's it. Yeah. So, anyway, we've gone long enough on that. I think we've hit on that a lot in the last three guest episodes that we've done. So to top off the hot topics today, we got one last topic to go over, and it's just our love for the media. Just media, legacy media, just fucking dying, man. running into the shithole.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but for somebody that does podcasting, it's nice to see legacy media that's been corrupt and people don't really trust anymore kind of go down the shitter.
Yeah.
Because it just tells us that what we're doing matters, and what we're doing, people like most, you know, some people like hearing it. Some people like hearing, they want to listen to authentic people that actually have shit to say that isn't being told, we're not being told what to say.
Yeah. We're not paid actors.
Speaking from the heart, right? People want more of that. And all these legacy companies, it's just not the case. It's all fucking, they're telling me to say this. I'm getting paid to say this. I'm getting greased to have this opinion, or I'm getting greased to write this article with this narrative. I mean, it's just,
it's really hard to watch. Really, even local news. I don't really watch local news, but it's so funny. They all have a script that's being propagated to them or sent to them, because you can watch the evening news in Iowa versus watch the evening news in Utah or West Virginia. And a lot of those stories on the national level, they're all reading them the exact same way. And they're not putting any research in that. They're just getting that off the wire, and they're just spitting it out there. I had an interesting experience yesterday. So I was at this round table, this Q&A that was put on, and it was a group of ad executives for different marketing companies, PR firms, whatever, and there was some people like us that do podcasts or do short form or whatever, and we were just talking about what we do and how we do it and the ins and outs of it. And there was an older gentleman there, and he raised his hand at the end because we took some questions at the end. And his question was that when we do a paid sponsorship, like on a, like what we do on our farm channel, where we have somebody that we work with that helps, that is a sponsorship, like we use their ventilation or hog billing or their feeders or whatever, and then, you know, we talk about them, whatever. And he asks us if we put a disclaimer that says this is a paid advertisement. And I'm not the one to ask. Sawyer wasn't there, so I'm not really the one to ask. But I told him, I said, well, I'm pretty sure that any time that we do a deal where we invite the company we're working with as a collaborator, or if they push that post out on Instagram or TikTok or whatever, it'll say this is a sponsored post or whatever. But I said, as far as the bit that's in the long form, I don't think there is. And he said, well, I come from the magazine world, and anytime there's an advertisement, it has to be written in there that this is a paid advertisement. He goes, how do you guys, is there any association or any policing of your platform to keep people honest? And I said to him, I said, well, there is. I said, basically, if I don't tell you the truth, or if I don't give you something that's valuable, and you find out that I'm lying to you, you're not going to listen to my shit, which means I'm not going to be successful, which means I'm not going to be in business. So I said, you don't really need that, because people's bullshit meter has never been higher. Like, they can just smell if you're trying to sell them something and you're not genuine in what you do. And I said, so I don't really think that's a problem. And I could tell he didn't really like that answer. And I didn't say anything more about it, but I thought about that. And I thought, yeah, first of all, magazines, I mean, God, I'd hate to be stuck in that business, because I don't even know, unless I'm stuck in a, like, where do you read a magazine? The doctor's office?
I have not read a It's been so long since I read a magazine.
Like, I don't know. But you think about that. You have all these people, and they put all this together, and they're, every story in there is, it's their opinion, whether they're trying to sell you or not sell you. I thought it was a little bit self-righteous for him to say, you know, like, we have these standards. Well, no, you don't, because so many of these magazines and print media, whether they admit it or not, their stories are all opinion. They have the opinion page, but the stories, when I interview somebody, when we have a guest on here, every question we ask them, that is our own, like, that's our own opinion.
That's our own curiosity.
Right. And it's shaded by our own worldview. And it's no different than when you write a magazine article. You can say that you're completely unbiased and you're full of shit. And the sooner that people just, I mean, you're pretty, everybody that listens to this, watches this, pretty much knows what we think. It's not like we claim to be completely unbiased, because we're not completely unbiased.
Yeah.
And for you to be sitting there at a magazine and saying, oh, yeah, we're completely unbiased and, you know, you shouldn't. I just took that to be kind of self-righteous that, oh, you know, we're pure as the wind-driven snow. Media's in bad shape.
Well, he's in bad shape. I mean, that's the problem. He's in bad shape. If he's still doing the magazine shit, he knows he's in bad shape, and he can sit there and bitch, but it's the way it is.
Yeah.
So you can just die with that while that magazine shit dies.
Yeah, I mean, it is. So the last year, I just put it in here because there's a clip, and we're going to embed this. So MSNBC, which I don't partake of it, but I saw this clip on, I think, Instagram, and I was just like, holy cow, that is like very blatant. And I guess I would applaud them in the fact that they have pretty much taken the gloves off, and you know exactly what they think, because the story they put on there was about a guy that wrote a book, two guys that wrote a book, and I'm not going to endorse the book, and I don't even know what it is, but basically they called white rural Americans the biggest threat to democracy, and you have got to watch this clip. We'll play it.
Joining us now, professor of political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, Tom Schaller, and journalist and opinion writer Paul Waldman. Their new book, out tomorrow, is entitled White Rural Rage, The Threat to American Democracy. And Tom, we'll start with you. Why are white rural voters a threat to democracy at this point? You would think, as we pointed out, looking at Joe Biden's background and Donald Trump's, that the opposite would be true.
I mean, we lay out the fourfold interconnected threat that white rural voters pose to the country. First of all, and we show 30 polls and national studies to demonstrate this. So we provide the receipts in Chapter 6. They're the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gay geodemographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. QAnon support and subscribers, election denialism, COVID denialism and scientific skepticism, Obama birtherism. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech. They're most likely to say the president should be able to act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're also the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they are most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse.
So you mentioned a lot of negative factors about this demographic.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's crazy.
We're the enemy.
Oh, 100%.
I guess we're the biggest threat to democracy, Dad.
Yeah, we are. I mean, in their eyes, we are. Yeah. And that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, they're two white.
Two white guys.
They don't live in rural America, but they're...
Two white guys wrote this book, and they're being interviewed by a white woman on MSNBC.
And they think white rural Americans are the biggest threat.
Yep, 100%. Just virtue signaling is what they're doing.
Yep.
So some crazy numbers. The LA Times laid off 20% of their staff, including 120 reporters, and they closed down their Washington, their political office, which is pretty surprising in an election year. BuzzFeed closed down its news division completely. And a few years ago, BuzzFeed was valued at, I can't remember how many million dollars. It was a pretty big deal. Sports Illustrated is gone altogether, which I don't know when that happened, but yeah, gone. No more swimsuit edition.
Nope.
Edition or issue, whatever.
Yep.
That was pretty popular in junior high. You'd like to see when that Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition came out. Some people were bagging on the New York Times, and I've seen these stories that have claimed that the New York Times is losing all kinds of money. And near as I can tell, they're not. I think they bought The Atlantic, maybe, and that's losing money for them still. But I think they're making money, but their print edition of the New York Times used to be in the millions, and now they have roughly about 600,000 subscribers to the print edition. But they claim to have 9.9 million digital subscribers. And that number is really hard to nail down as to how many of those are real, but it's a number. But for argument's sake, they're like the Scouts Honor. They're the most reputable print media, old media source out there amongst people that still partake of print media or old media, whatever. And 9.9 subscribers on an annual basis. Joe Rogan has 14.9 subscribers, just
million
subscribers.
9.9 million for New York Times, 14.9 million subscribers for Joe Rogan podcast annually.
Just that's what his subscription base is.
Yeah.
So it really tells you the parity that's out there between new media.
And honestly, Joe Rogan, you think he's going to give that statistic? I mean, how...
That's just strictly going off people. I think you can go... Can you go to Apple and it tells you how many people subscribe to it?
No, it just shows you how many reviews.
I think that might just be his YouTube.
That just is reviews.
That might just be his YouTube subscribers.
Yeah, because you can't tell how many people listen.
Yeah.
Unless he tells you how many people
and
listen.
And his listens.
So it's probably double that, because if he's got 14.9 million subscribers on YouTube, he's been just doing audio exclusive now for
a while. It's coming back.
I mean, though, he's done video on Spotify, but I mean, you could be well over 50 to 100 million. I mean, he could be he's probably well over 100 million subscribers. Potentially.
Well, if he is, that's a third of the population of the United States. And if that was true and you were a Democrat, you'd be scared to death.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I think it's just back to truth, and people just are craving real. At the end of the day, they just want to be out. There's no trust. There's no trust in the government. There's no trust in legacy media. And any form of media that you consume, that you get the sense that you cannot trust what's coming out of the person's mouth, or whether it's a documentary or whether it's a movie with a narrative that's trying to push you to think a certain way. When you smell that, people are not buying it anymore. They're not consuming it anymore. They're done with it. They're done with it. And so, you know, that's why being real and having a brand that's authentic and just being you and saying what you think matters, because people are craving that more than ever before. They want to be able to trust what you got to say, and what you say, you mean. And we're not being told what to say. It's just what we think.
Yep.
It's not a narrative. We're not getting greased to say something. It's just what we think. And the more people that embrace that, the more I think whatever you're doing is going to be successful when it comes to media.
Yeah.
And that's why we try to pride ourselves on not knowing everything, going and doing your own research, telling you our opinions, and they're our fucking opinions. It's what we think. It's what we, when we see these stories or we watch the
State of the Union,
State of the Union, Those are our thoughts. Yeah. Those are our actual thoughts.
Well, you know what? I think the thing that I get the most out of our podcast and the podcasts that I listen to is, one, I get a little bit of feeling of community because I know that I'm not alone. Like, when I hear somebody say what I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, well, at least, you know, if I'm crazy, that guy's the same crazy I am.
Yeah, that's true.
And the other thing is, what I like about it is there's a lot of stuff that I listen to and I don't agree with it, but it sparks that thought of, okay, well, am I wrong?
Yep.
Like,
exactly.
Do I need to adjust what I'm thinking? And I have changed my mind about a hell of a lot of stuff over the years that I've been walking around, and I probably will some more, but there's some things that I hold to pretty tight that I'm not going to change because it's intergenerational. Like, there's some truths in this world that have been proven over time that, well, this is just kind of the way it is. And, you know, it's like rain doesn't go up, you know, it's that kind of a deal. But I would hate to be a person that for your point of view and for your political view to succeed, it would mean that America had to fail. Like, how depressing. Like, I just think about how fucking depressing.
You're soulless. I mean, you're evil at that point. You're evil.
I don't know.
At the end of the day, if there's people like that, you're evil.
There are a hell of a lot of people out there, though, that consume this doom and gloom. And I just, man, like, I just, how can you be against people at least having the chance? Like, I know I'm not for rigging the system. But I want people to have the opportunity that if they're willing to bust their ass, they can be very successful. Yep. And I don't know how you can be against that. But there's a lot of people that are. And anybody that does that, anybody that puts in the time, they want to discount them. They want to penalize them. They want to vilify them. And, man, I just can't get behind that. So
I can't either. Yeah. I love this country. And I think there's some people in power that don't love this country, unfortunately. Fuck, I was watching a TikTok the other day of Toby Keith singing Proud to Be It. What is that? What's that song? Fuck. Courtesy of the Red, White, and Blue. And that was just a montage of... It was back in the day when that first came out and everybody was singing that. Shit, it brought tears to my eyes. I was like, I fucking love America.
Yep.
That is a patriotic-ass song. And it was just a montage of America and soldiers and all that shit. And it's just like... yeah, I love this country. I want it to keep going, and we need less legacy media shoving their agenda down our throat, and I like seeing it die because they're doing the wrong thing, I think. So anyway, not saying we do everything right here, but I feel like we're on the right track of actually talking to you guys, the real Americans, and we love every single one of you guys for tuning in and once a week sticking with us and listening to us or watching us, because we love doing it. And we appreciate all the support, all the comments, all the feedback, all the emails, all the reviews, all the people that go to Farmer Great and buy a box of meat or send us care packages with whiskey and fucking Bucky nuts.
Bucky nuts. Bucky. Or what are those called?
Golden nuggets or something.
Bucky nuggets.
Yeah, Bucky nuggets.
We don't always get it right. But trial and error will get us a long ways, and yep, we just keep trying.
That's our motto. Trial and error will get you a long ways. And I don't know what this year's going to bring for 2024, but all I know is we need an awakening. We need to do something different than what we're doing right now. And so just keep that in the forefront of your mind when it comes election time, because we got to change the frickin' tide somehow. So keep going at it. Keep grinding. Keep your head up, because we still do live in the greatest country to ever exist, and there's no place I'd rather be. And you know what? I don't want to fight for any other country. You know what I mean? Like, there's some people that say, oh, leave America, leave America. I'm never going to leave America. And the reason I'm never going to leave America is because you got to go... You got to go down fighting for something, and I wouldn't want to go. I don't want to go down fighting for anything else but this country. So we're going to keep saying what the fuck we feel like saying and what we think's right. And if you agree, God bless you. And if you don't agree, God bless you too. And go find your own answers for yourself. But that's all we got for Hot Topics today, guys. We appreciate you, and we'll see you back here next week for another episode.